Sunday morning, let me give you a quick 5 minutes. Actually, in one sentence, Islam is not a loving, peaceful religion, as they claim. Islam began 610 years after Christianity. Islam began from Saudi Arabia, spread to all over the world, including Europe. Thank God for the Spanish and thank God for the French, who have a physical fight in the 7th century, 650 plus, and they were able to back up Islam to Africa. If it's not for those people, you will be here Muslim today. And you will not be any different than any of the other countries in the world. Egypt was a Christian country, and Muslims came to Egypt. And within the first 100 years, we lost 4 million. And Egypt today is a Muslim country. And it is the first thing that comes to our mind when we know that it's a Muslim, we think it's Arab. No. Only 13% of the Muslims around the world today are Arab. 87% never read the Quran. Never understood what in their faith. Neither them, neither their ancestor for the last 1400 years. So just some people came into the country, killed everybody who were able to fight, and the children, and the new children born through the raping. Everybody has been killed. His daughter and his wife are a Muslim concubine. And here we go, Egypt became a Muslim country, and so obviously some of the people who were feared for their life, they were able to just become Muslim. What do you want me to do? Say, La ilaha illallah, Muhammad Rasulullah, he say it. They call it shahada. We'll talk about it tonight. You say the shahada, some sentence in Arabic, you're a good Muslim, you live. Otherwise, you're Christian, you'll be put to death or become slave. And I'm not sure how much I can tell you about what we talk about Sunday, but since it's already on CD, so please get a CD. If not, go online and you can hear it yourself. We stopped last Sunday on this slide, God and Allah. And we, as Americans, get familiar the last 5-6 years with the word Allah. And before that, I never heard anybody talk about Allah in America. And now, sadly, and I say this with respect to all pastors, all preachers, all priests who speak against Allah, they are speaking ignorancy. Literally, they're telling me, I'm an ignorant. Don't listen to me anymore. I'm fool. Because all what they do is they attack the word Allah. And they have no idea that the word Allah is literally the Arabic word for God. Does Allah equal God? Yes. And when I sit in a church and I hear some preacher say, Allah is not Yahweh. Allah is not God. You know what he's telling me? He's telling me, I am an ignorant person of a language that's called Arabic. Anybody speak Spanish here? Brother, what is God in Spanish language? Dios. Can you go to Spanish people and say, Dios is not God? They look at you and smile and say, a guy is an ignorant of the language, he does not know. That's what it is. Now, the question we should ask is the Allah of Islam is the same Allah of Christianity? Because they are not believing in a different God as we think. As we Christian Americans think. But they believe in their thought, in their mind, in their heart, they believe in the same God. Who is their God? He's the God, he's the creator. He is the one God who created Adam and Eve. He's the one God who created heaven and earth. In 6 days, in some part of the Quran, in 8 days, another part, no big deal, it's only 2 days different. But he is the creator. He is the God of Moses, Abraham, and Jesus, and they will name all the list of the prophets or what they claim to be a prophet in the Bible. So to them, it is the same God. To me, I believe we don't worship the same God. I believe the God of the Quran, the God of Islam, is Satan. None but Satan. And if I have a time to talk about this alone, that's a good couple hour seminar. We don't have time to talk about that. They think they worship God. They have the jealousy of Paul before he was Paul. What Paul was doing, he was killing the Christian. And he thought in his heart as Saul that he's doing God a favor. The more Christian he kills, the more favor he's doing. That's what exactly Muslims do. They literally, when they kill Christian, when they kill Jew, when they make any of their act of faith, they're thinking in their heart they're doing God a favor. But literally, they're serving Satan. Of course, they're not the same God. But it does not give us the right to make fun of Allah. Because guess what? In my Bible, in the beginning, Allah created the heaven and the earth. In my Christian Bible, John 3:16, for Allah so loves the world that He gave His only begotten Son. Now, if somebody came to your church from right now here tonight and I'm going to sit there with you, and then he said, I believe in Allah. How do you know that he believes in the Allah of the Christian faith or the Allah of Islam? You simply ask him, do you believe that this Allah is the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ? And that's one key. That's one question. Yes, I do. Guess what? He's a Christian brother. He just speaks Arabic. And that's the name of his of God in the Arabic language. In Hebrew, it's Elohim. Listen, Elohim, Allah, very close. It's not Elohim, God, but the English word for God is, for Elohim in Arabic, in English, of course, is God. Here is the, I'd like to just give you an idea. In Islam, there is a 99 name. At least, it used to be, not anymore, used to be 99 names for God. Just 6-8 months ago, they took 26 names out. After 1400 years, the Muslims are naming the names of, they have this prayer beads. It have a 33 piece. And they go through it 3 times to call on the names of God, 99 names. After 1400 years, they discover 6 months ago that their 26 names were wrong. So they took them out. Now, when you read the Quran, say, when you read the names of God, there's a blessings. So I don't know what kind of blessings they were receiving in the last 1400 years. But there is nothing in the Quran. When you open the Quran and read the Quran, you'll never find a chapter called the names of God. Here are the names of God. No. There's no chapter here said the names of God. But you get the names of God as you go through the Quran as you read. So you find in a verse or a statement, and God was patient with Jacob. So God is patient. And God, and they deceive, and God deceive, but God is the best deceiver. So God is a deceiver. That's one of the names of God. So many of the names of God is contradiction to each other. So like 40 against 50. One of them is generous, and one said is he's stingy. Oh yes, because he's generous to those who believe in him. He's stingy to those who disbelieve him. The infidel. Last Sunday when we were talking about the slide that shows you this video, you're going to hear it maybe on the CD. The Muslim imam in America, he says that in Islam, it is as it is in America. He meant in the Christian faith. God loves sinners, but God hates sin. So Muslims are the same. They love sinners, but they hate sin. Well, guess what? Neither Muslim or God in the Quran love sinners. There's 50 different names for sinners, but none of them has been loved by God. Now, Dr. Ahmed Chalabi wrote a book. He's a professor in Cairo University. He's still alive today. And in his book by the title Islam, he gave us a chapter or a part in it. We're talking about the names of God. And he tells us that the names of God come from the Quran. And listen what he says.
The names of God, as Muslims see it, come directly from the Quran. Therefore, Muslims cannot call him God of love simply because God did not describe himself as the God of love.
So the God of the Quran, the God of Islam, is not a loving God. Why in the world do you expect this book to teach love? You could not find a verse in the Quran that said God love, except one I'm going to show in a minute. Oh, God will love the Muslim, but besides that, he will not love anybody. And he specifically loves a small group. Now, if you say that, if I tell you that the names of God come directly from how God has been described in the Quran, so we see God is patient, God is generous, God is this, God is that. And I found a verse in the Quran say God love. That means God is love. But guess what? It does not work with this verse. Listen what the verse says.
Surely God loves those who fight in ranks for his sake, as if they were a solid wall.
God love hate? You see? It's a problem. God love Osama bin Laden. God love Mus'ab Sarkawi. God love Muhammad Atta. God love Ayman Zohiri. God love any Muslim, any and every Muslim who will attack infidels. Remember what we talked about Sunday morning. Chapter 5, verse 72. Chapter 5, verse 73. All Christians are infidels. If you believe in Trinity, if you believe that Jesus is the Son of God, God Almighty, you are infidel. I don't care where you come from. Catholic, Baptist, Presbyterian, Methodist, Pentecostal, I don't care what you are. All Christians since the beginning of the church, that's 2,000 years ago, till today, they believe in Trinity. Do you know any church that's not believe? Even Mormons and Jehovah's Witness, which I believe 100% are cult, they still believe somehow in Jesus to be God or Trinity. He's a small God, he's a medium-sized God, he's a big God, but he's a God. Mormon will tell you, we believe in Jesus. Mormon will tell you everything you want to hear about Jesus if you aren't even a Baptist church or a Pentecostal church. 10 years later, you found out that Jesus and Satan are brothers. But 10 years later, in the beginning, they believe that they're good Baptists. They're good Pentecostals. They're good Methodists. 10 years later, oh, by the way, we forgot to tell you, Jesus is and Satan are brothers. But somehow, Jesus still, he died on the cross and all the Christian faith is in, even in the cause. God loves those who fight. Can we call God a loving God? No, it does not work. Here is what the Bible teaches about God. Listen carefully.
Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. And everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love.
Okay, so if you are here tonight and you don't love somebody for some reason, you need to check the mark about have you been saved or not. Because he said here, who is, here, and everyone that loveth is born of God. You are a Christian, you're born of God, you're born again, you must love. You don't love, you're not born again. You can call yourself Baptist, Catholic, Presbyterian, whatever name you want to put yourself in. It does not work. The mark for the Christian, Jesus said, by this the world will know that you are my disciple. If you love one another. And the great command is to love your neighbor as yourself. Did he mention, by the way, the neighbor is going to be a Muslim guy? Or some guy from different color? Or some guy from different background? Some guy from different country? Love your neighbor as yourself. You don't love, you're not born of God. You're not born of God, don't you dare call yourself a Christian. You can put some title next to your name. I'm a Baptist. I'm a Catholic. But if you don't know Christ, you have nothing to do with the church. Not only you don't know you are not born of God, you don't even know God if you don't love. Why? Because God is love. Here's a good verse Muslims need to know in America, because that's the only country they don't know. They tell you here in America, you are my friends. We love you, American. We love the Jew. We believe in Moses. We love the Christian. We believe in Jesus. We love the baloney. We believe in Alexander the Great. And they're all good. They can't be Muslim if they don't practice their book. And let me say again what I told you Sunday morning. Islam is not what I tell you here tonight. Islam is what the Quran teaches. So it is in Christianity. Christianity is not some preacher or somebody holding a cross in his hand and claim to be a Christian and tell you no. Christianity is what the New Testament, the word of our Lord Jesus Christ and the teaching of the apostle says. That's what Christianity is. What does the Quran teach? Can a Muslim be a friend to a Jew and a Christian? You can't. You can be a friend, but you cannot be a Muslim. Muslim means obeying the word of Islam, of the Quran, what the Quran teaches. What does the Quran teach here? Chapter 5, verse 51.
O you who believe, do not take the Jews and Christians as friends. They are friends to one another. And whoever among you takes them as friends, so surely he is one of them. Surely God does not guide the unjust people.
The moment the Muslim take a Jew or a Christian as friend, he become an infidel. One of them mean an infidel. The Muslim who love you or who act like they love you, they are one of two. They are not Muslim or they are the biggest hypocrites. And I have hundreds of pictures to show, videos to show you. Where you see the guy smile and he say, we condemn this. I'm sorry. The guy smile, upset first. And he said, we condemn this act. September 11th, that was a terrible thing. Islam does not teach that. We love, we this, and we that. And the same guy, in another video, another picture, smile and say, we praise these 19 heroes who took this building down. They break this world to two groups, the true Muslim and infidel. Same guy. And he live here in America. I have 100 stories to share. When I go to a place and I meet with people and they know my name is Usama, I'm from Egypt, the first thing comes to their mind, I'm a Muslim guy. And we start talking and man, you can hear the conversation. If I record it on tape, they will be put in jail. Literally, they love to see this country burn down right and left. Literally, you are an infidel, need to be wiped out. And we pray that Allah will bring the curse on America. We pray that Allah will torment this country. We pray. We hate Bush. We hate the war. And we do. I mean, everything you can imagine. It's like, why in the world you're here if you hate it that much?
That's right.
Go back to your country where you came from. But then, they found out I'm a Christian. And whoa, you deceived us. And then, sometimes you meet a Muslim man, he will tell you one story. I meet the same guy, and we have the opposite story. That's what you call hypocrisy. Can Muslim be our friend and be Muslim? No. Period. When the Bible says, love your enemy, and you don't love your neighbor, you're not a Christian. Even if your neighbor don't like you. I'm sorry I tell it in your face, you're not a Christian. I was listening to Neil Bort's show this morning, yesterday morning, and he's talking about this. The Muslim in America are different than the Muslim overseas, or the Muslim in Europe. And he said, it will never happen here. Why? Because Muslims here are melting into the society. They become American. No, they cannot become American because they are Muslim. They are waiting for the... And there was a question that has been asked to him. Will they ever become like the Muslim in Europe? And the answer was no. And he said, well, really, I'm struggling with this, question. And I tried to call his number. I have this list on my 800 number on my phone. I called him 50 times just to quote a few verses from the Quran. And the Lord was not willing. What Neil Bortz and all this wonderful radio talk show need to learn is Muslim in America are a baby line. You literally can put a baby line with your little baby in bed. And they will play together and have a good time. Wait until the baby lion gets big, he will eat you and your children. That's the only difference between a Muslim in America and Muslim in Europe. You know why? Because we're ignorant. We didn't even know what happened in Europe 50 years ago. 50 years ago, Muslims in Europe were very peaceful, loving people. But now they have enough power in the Congress, in the Parliament, in the Senator, they're making the line England now, the Muslim. And 20 years from now, they will make your own line, America. And you'll be sitting despaired. Wonder what happened to my country. Look at Europe and learn America. Or you'll be a real fool. Don't take Jew or Christian for friends. Why can't some Muslim imam explain to us this verse? Those who claim to be our friends. And what makes me twice as sick is not the lie of imam, it's the lie of our leaders. When our President Bush, whom I love, I vote for him twice, I'll vote for him again if you run for any office, say that Islam is a loving, peaceful religion. The Quran is a loving, peaceful book. So is Condoleezza Rice, so is every other people. Yes, Vicky. Children, you can do it. Anybody can, maybe? Okay. She will take all the children to the nursery room. That'll be good. Thank you. Okay, we're going to shift a little bit here. We're going to go to the pillar of Islam. Notice now, the pillar of Islam has been taught in your school for the last, I don't know, 10, 20 years. I have no idea. And what's he teaching in school? Exactly what happened 30, 40 years ago when they start teach evolution. It was a theory. And it became science. It was a theory, little words, a lot of picture, big dinosaur with a long neck, and they were right under it. Series, 300 million years ago, or 500, whatever, 70 million years ago, dinosaur lived in the land. Siri. And then the picture gets smaller and smaller, and the world gets bigger and bigger. Now our science is anti-Christian faith. It's books, no longer Siri, but it became science. Even though they don't have any proof, so many of the lies of evolution, it's in our school today, taught our children, even it has been proven 100%, it's a lie. It was fraud. And guess what? It is in the science book. So is Islam beginning our school with the five pillar of Islam. Very simple information. Muslim people do 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Amen. Thank you. Goodbye. Slowly, slowly get in our school books. Now they're teaching anything and everything they want. Right now. We're not going to wait 20 years. Right now. In Orlando, Florida. By the way, if you don't know Orlando, Florida, I don't know where you live. Because Orlando, Florida is the international city on planet Earth. The book taught in Orlando, Florida has been taught so many other states and cities in America. It's called The People of the Earth. It's a social study book written by Saudi Arabia for your children. And in the book it says, the Bible used to be holy, the Bible used to be the Word of God, but it has been corrupted. That's what Greg Daddy tried to teach him 20-some years ago. In the same way, the Quran is the holy word of God, never been corrupted, never been changed since it's written 1400 years ago. The question on the test, for your children to pass the test, they must write by their own hand. The question is, what is the difference between the Bible and the Quran? They need to write by their own hand on the paper, the Bible is corrupted and the Quran is holy, not corrupted. And then they pass the test. How sickening this is to me that you American people don't even know what your children are learning in the school. And nobody get upset and nobody get angry because we're loving Christian people. That is foolishness. That is dumb. Jesus never sinned, but Jesus got angry. And he went inside the temple. And the Bible says, get angry, but do not sin. He went inside the temple. He kicked the cages. He opened the cows and the sheep and the goats and running inside all over the temple. The bird were flying, the dove was, which is using for sacrifice. The money was dropped everywhere. And his disciples shoulder to shoulder. And he cleaned the temple. He did the right thing in anger. It's okay, America, to get angry because, no, you know what? You don't get angry, you're going to be sorry the rest of your life. It will not be different than Egypt. Go live in Egypt for a week. The pillar of Islam is not as they try to appear outside looking to teach it to your children. There's more in it than you can even imagine. Let me share with you the pillar of Islam. First one is Al-Shahada. That to say in Arabic, notice now, Islam is built on Arabic. By the way, over 1,100,000,000 on the world today, that's 90% of Muslims cannot understand Arabic. So as Muslim American don't understand Arabic, but everything in Islam, as you're going to see, is built on Arabic. Repeat after me, Ashhadu, Ashhadu, Anna, La ilaha illallah. Ashhadu, Ashhadu, Anna, Muhammad, Muhammad, Rasulullah. Amen. You're a Muslim. I have some videos and I said, repeat after me in Arabic and then later I will tell you what you said, what it means. Wow. You're going to say a false sentence and later, by the way, you're a Muslim. Let me tell you now what you said. What he said is, I bear witness there is no God but Allah and that Muhammad is his prophet. Witness? According to the Quran, that's a false witness. Why? Because in the Quran, you cannot be a witness unless, except if you see by your eyes, smell by your nose, taste by your tongue, touch by your hand, hear by your ear. Do you know any Muslim fit to be a witness for Muhammad? Have anybody seen Muhammad yet?
No.
Well, what about Christian? You Christian do the same thing? No, we don't. Well, you witness that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. No, we believe. Well, let me show you in the Bible. The Bible said, you are my witness. Yes, Jesus talking to his disciple, and the disciple were his witnesses. I mean, the disciple even wrote in the scripture and said, we have ate with him. We have touched him. We have drank with him. They're talking about after the resurrection. Over 500 eyewitnesses were there at the time of the writing of the gospel. That's 50 years later of life, alive people who were true witnesses. They saw Jesus, they touched Jesus, they talked to Jesus, they heard Jesus, they ate with Jesus, and Jesus appeared to them for 40 long days. That's a false witness. Can Muhammad be a prophet? I asked this question last time. I don't know if this church or somebody. Can Muhammad be a prophet? I mean, he said, they bear witness that he's a prophet. Can he even be a prophet? What is a prophet, church? What is a prophet, America? If you don't know, let me tell you a symbol. The Bible says a prophet is a man who says, this is what God said, 1, 2, 3, 4. And this is what is going to happen. Give prophecy. Things are going to happen in the future. And this is what's going to happen, 1, 2, 3, 4. He mentioned some stuff. And if what he said did not happen, you take him outside the city and stone him to death. False prophet. Now, if he said, and what he said happened, and he asks you to worship other God, you do the same thing. Take him outside the city and send him to death. Give the stone, throw him until he dies. Why? Because God said, I will test you to see if your heart is right with me. It's not because I'm going to tell you, outside right now is going to be 2 foot of snow. And you look through the window and you, man, the 2 foot snow is outside there. And that makes me a true prophet. Because the only true prophet is, I tell you, outside there will be 2 foot of snow, and we must believe and worship Jesus alone. That's the only true prophet. Now, did Muhammad prophesy about anything? Did he give us any prophecy? No. So how can he be a prophet? Not even, he did not say anything to happen or not happen. He didn't say anything. In our presentation, Muhammad or Christ, who is the greater, I mentioned the one, the only one, good guess. That's not prophecy. It's like me telling you, tomorrow, the chance is going to rain, and the chance of rain is 50%. Wow, if it rained, I told you it's going to rain tomorrow. If it did not rain, well, I meant the other 50%. That was the prophecy of Muhammad in the Quran. Suppose the room was going to win a war in some years in a near land. The room is going to win a war in a near land in some years to come. Wow, what a prophecy. I don't think Muslims know what is a word prophecy mean. Here's a couple of verses in the Quran clearly teach that Muhammad cannot be a prophet. First one.
And indeed, we gave the book and the wisdom and the prophethood to the children of Israel, and we provided them with the good things, and we favored them above the worlds.
Here in chapter 45, verse 16, in the Quran, Muhammad said by his own words that the prophethood has been given to who? To the children of Israel. Don't be surprised, so many Muslim people don't know who is Israel. Israel is Jacob, son of Isaac, son of Abraham. Okay, so next verse will clear it out a little bit. Because in the Quran, it was Jacob, Jacob, Jacob. In one moment, here it is, Israel. Who is Israel? Who knows? You need to read the Bible to understand that Jacob wrestled with God Almighty as the angel of the Lord, which I believe is the incarnator Jesus Christ. And then he hit him in his hip and Jacob said, I'm not going to let you go. He said, what do you want? He said, bless me. He said, okay, your name will be no longer Jacob, but Israel. And that's how his name changed. If you don't read the Bible, you'll be like any good Muslim who does not know why in the world the guy his name changed. And by the way, they make fun of the Bible, because how in the world Jacob would wrestle with God? You need to wrestle with God and you walk with him. Otherwise, you'll be living miserable Christian life. Wrestle is true. Wrestling with God is true. If you surrender to sin and you're not wrestling with God and you're begging God and fighting with God in your walk every day, you're not a Christian where Christ wants you to be. If you surrender to sin and let everything go, whatever happened, happened, then you're not a Christian at all. So, here's one verse. So, who are the people to receive the prophethood? The children of Israel, not anybody else. Muhammad is not a Jew. He's not a children of Jacob. Here's another verse in chapter 29 and verse 27. The Quran says,
and we gave to him Isaac and Jacob, and we assigned the prophethood and the book to his descendants, and we gave him his wages in this world, and surely in the hereafter he is among the good.
So here Muhammad is telling that the prophethood has been assigned, past tense, to the descendant of Jacob. Well, some Muslims say, whoa, 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 you misunderstand. He meant the descendant of Abraham. Because him, in the beginning of the verse, and we gave to him Abraham, that means the descendant of Abraham. I'm sorry. Why did he say that? Because he said, well, Abraham had his son Ishmael. And if Ishmael is the son of Abraham and Muslim came from Ishmael, then through the descendant of Abraham, Ishmael, Muhammad came. So Muhammad is a prophet. That's not true. For many reasons. Number one, if Ishmael is a part of the story to be a prophet, why didn't God say, and we gave to him, which is Abraham, Ishmael and Isaac? As a matter of fact, Ishmael is the older, his name should come first. That's number one. Number two, is really Ishmael is the father of Arab? Is Arab are the descendants of Ishmael? That is the biggest lie, which I used to believe until 6 years ago. I mean, common sense. My brother called me from Egypt and he said, since you're in school right now and you have time, why didn't you do a study on the Arabs, see where the Arab come from? I said, Arab come from Ishmael. Why do I need to study for this? It's common sense, common knowledge. We all know that. He said, just do a study. Do a paper for it. I went to one of my professors, Dr. Taylor, I believe, and I said, Dr. Taylor, will you allow me to do a paper on Ishmael and Arab? And he said, he's like, what's the point of it? I said, I just want to do it. He said, okay, I'll let you do it. You have to get permission, otherwise you'll be working for hours and hours for nothing. Well, I finished my book, my paper, and guess what? I found that Ishmael have nothing to do with Aaron. If you read your Bible, a little bit careful, don't skip some names and don't skip some places, just in Genesis 25. Genesis 25 tells us that Abraham have another wife by the name Keturah after Sarah died. And then after this, he mentioned a bunch of names. We American people don't know how to pronounce this name, so we just skip them. And some of bunch of grandchildren names, we just skip them too. I mean, who has time to read all those names? But guess what? In my research and my study, I found out that the children of Keturah are the father or the ancestor of all the Arabs. To the point that some of their names are tied to the city where Arab live today. Ishmael does not live south, but he lived across the street from his brother. He lived in the east of Isaac. Ishmaelites have nothing to do with Arab. Then you get to another lie. Well, the son whom Abraham was about to sacrifice, you know the test God gave to Abraham? Was it Ishmael or Isaac? Of course Muslims say it was Ishmael. Why? Because they picked up the verse in the Bible, not in the Quran, where he said, "And I, and thy seed, I'll bless the whole world." So in the seed of who? Ishmael, Isaac, must be Ishmael. Why? Because Muhammad come from Ishmael, and then through Muhammad, the whole world will be blessed. There's no blessing come from Muhammad, period. Muslims been killing each other since day one. Where is the blessing? Islam is a long, strong, deep river of blood since the beginning, since Muhammad. Till today, Muslim kid, where is the blessing? Where is the love? Where is the peace in Islam? If this is true, that means God's promise has not been fulfilled. God is a liar. But when you read the Quran, chapter 37, close 101, 102, and you read the story about the sacrificed son, the Quran never mentioned the name of the son. As a matter of fact, the Quran never mentioned any name of anything about any story. One of them tells the others. That's how the Quran talks. And when he put names, he put the wrong names. I don't have time to get to that. But the Quran says, and Abraham said to his son, first of all, his son was grown up to walk with him. He was not a little baby. I'll tell you why. His son was grown up and he was walking with his dad. So it's Abraham and his son. And Abraham told his son, oh, my son, I see in my dream, I'm about to sacrifice you. And his son said, oh, daddy, no problem. I'll be of the patient. I will be obedient. Go ahead and do it. It's a funny way even to tell the story. When you hear the story in the Bible, you almost hold yourself to not crying. That Abraham was tempted so hard. And the test was so difficult that he held his son. His son, I mean, I remember when I was a kid, and you hear the story in the Bible, and then Isaac said, Daddy, well, here is the wood, here is the fire, me and I going up to the mountain to sacrifice. What is the sheep? What is the sacrifice, Daddy? I remember when I hear the story when I was a kid, I cry. Because I know that his daddy want to kill him. And then he tied his hand and tied his feet and he put him on the altar. And how hard this was for Abraham. You read the story in the Quran, you just laugh. It's dumb. Literally, it's dumb. Every story I have read so far in the Quran is dumb. He took all the story of the Bible and he makes them dumb and put them in the Quran. And they call it revelation. And I was there to debate any Muslim of any story in the Quran to prove my point. And then, let's read the hadith. Muslim will tell you. Remember, we talked about this Sunday. You cannot understand the Quran unless you read it in Arabic, and then you have to read the hadith. Okay. By the way, the last verse of the Quran, before I leave the Quran last verse, and he said, and we made his son Isaac a great prophet. So, which son he was talking about in the Quran? It was Isaac. Or why in the world, after a long story, he mentioned Isaac in the bottom? Some scholar, now I call them, they're not scholars, they're deceiver. They wrote in the bottom of this verse, and we made at the birth of his son, Isaac, a great prophet. They add the word birth of, why? Because he was not born yet. Liars, that's not in the Arabic text. We made his son. The one I'm talking about, all the story is about Isaac. And the proof is in the last verse, and we made his son, Isaac, a prophet. You're not going to tell me a story about your cousin and then end it by your son. Me and my cousin went and catch fish and me and my cousin this and this and this. And my son is a good boy. What you're talking about? It doesn't make any sense. So a simple reading to the Quran, chapter 37, the story of the sacrifice, you come to the conclusion, it was Isaac, it was not Ishmael. Let's read the hadith now to prove my point. The hadith clearly teach, Ibn Kathir told us in his interpretation to the story of the prophet of this specific area, he said that Abraham sent Hagar and her son Ishmael to Mecca. Abraham never went to Mecca. Ishmael never went to Mecca. When he was a baby and he was still breastfeed from his mama. 2 years or younger. 2 years or younger, he was gone all the way to Mecca. And who is this young man who's walking with his daddy to be sacrificed? Must be Ishmael. No, absolutely not. It is Isaac. Is Ishmael the father of Arab? No. But Muslim people try to tell you that he is. They could not prove it, neither by the Quran or the Hadith. Read the Bible, you find out Keturah. Some of the books I was opening, and Brother Greg knew in New Orleans, we have a big library. I opened the book and I searched for Keturah. And the first thing come after next name Keturah, she is the wife of Abraham after the death of Sarah, and she is the mother of the ancestor of Arab. I was shocked that some books already written. I thought I'm going to discover the magic. It's already written. So can Muhammad be a prophet? No. It's a big lie. Okay, second pillar in Islam is the pillar of prayer. And both of you pray 5 times a day in Arabic language. The God of Muhammad, Allah, does not understand English. You have to speak to him in Arabic. Tell this to 90% of, oh, let me give you exactly the number. 87% of the Muslim people since the beginning of Islam until today. It's been 1400 years. 1400 years. And Muslims pray in Arabic and they don't know what they're saying. Irani does not know Arabic. Afghani does not know Arabic. Pakistani does not know Arabic. American Muslims do not know Arabic. Chinese do not know Arabic. Indian Muslim, the whole world don't know Arabic except Arab. Indonesia people do not know Arabic. Do you know how many people live in Indonesia are Muslim? 220 million. More than all the Arab Muslim who live on planet Earth today. 220, I've been in Indonesia twice in 2 mission trips. I go to the mosque to meet with Imam. They don't even know what is good morning mean. I go to the mosque, I say, Sabah al-Khair, good morning. They have no clue what I'm saying. And they pray 5 times a day in Arabic. Long sentence. I remember this. Let me share the story with you quickly. I was in Orlando, Florida, driving on Highway 192. And next to me, there's a car. And this car, there's a lady inside it is Muslim, because I know from her dress, she was covered. And I don't know how in the world, sometimes you do things stupid. I did something stupid. And I shout inside my car, and my window is up, her window is up. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. And she heard me. She dropped her window, I dropped my window, and she smiled, and I start to come up with the second sentence, and my brain freeze. I don't know what to say next. I don't know why even I did that. So you know what I'm talking about? Sometimes you do something stupid, like, why in the world is that? But then I said, excuse me, حضرتك تعرفي فين شارع John Young? She said, I'm sorry, I don't understand Arabic. I don't speak Arabic. I said, oh, I'm sorry. Do you know where is John Young Street is? Well, I know where John Young Street is, coming in 2 miles. But I just, you know, to get out of this problem, you don't know what to say next. And I said, oh, but you're a Muslim. She said, yes, I'm a Muslim. Praise God. Praise Allah. I've been saved now for 5 years. Praise Allah. She's been saved. Saved in Islam. The word saved is not known to the Muslim. It's not known in the Quran. Nobody is saved. Period. But she said, she's been saved now for 5 years. So, all right. Cool. That's what they taught you here in America. You're saved in Islam. Okay. So what do you used to be before that? She said, I was in a Pentecostal church. Oh my God. I spoke 15 years in tongues and I taught Sunday school class for 15 years. I said, wonderful, wonderful. And now I met Catholic who are Muslim. I met Baptists who are Muslim. The Baptist preacher I told you about last Sunday. And now I meet Presbyterian Muslim and Pentecostal Muslim. Everybody is Muslim in this country. Wow. Well, and then start talking with them. The Lord was awesome. He make us move next to each other. You know, the car's moving that next to each other. And then the red light stop. Here we stop. Here she is again. So tell me, and this question comes to my mind. How you pray? I bet you have a very difficult time to pray in Arabic. She said, oh, no, no problem at all. I already memorized my prayer. She memorized her prayer. She can repeat, blah, 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 And this other lady on past talk, she said, praise God. Since I become Muslim now, I pray 5 times a day. Before, when I was, I believe she was a Catholic, this lady, she was a Catholic, I used not to pray at all. I said, does Christianity teach not to pray? Or does Christianity pray 3 times only a day? You know what the Bible teaches about prayer? Pray without stopping. So if you pray in Islam 5 times a day, you are so poor, you have nothing to do with prayer. Because Christianity teach to pray. But you know what we do that right now? We're canceling our Wednesday prayer meeting. We cancel our Sunday evening prayer meetings. We're trying to make it easy, simple. I wish you guys go to some other country and see how the church worship. Indonesia. The first day I was in Indonesia, 5 churches had been bombed. My wife, she's an eyewitness. I mean, she knows about what I'm telling you. And people, even they know they go to church, they maybe get bombed and killed, but they still go to church. I spoke in a church smaller than this building. God is my witness. There are over 250 people inside the building. Smaller than this is big. No air condition. Fans are making noise more than making air. And they can lose their life in this meeting. I've spoken to church in the same town, Samarang, in Jakarta. 5 churches have been bombed. But people go to church and worship. And they have meeting every day at night during the summer. Other times they have 4 or 5 meetings during the week. We American, 1 hour, and man, oh man, if you go over 12 o'clock, people start leaving the church. Muslim people know how to pray 5 times a day. Even they don't know what they're saying, but at least they're praying 5 times a day. First one is before even day starts in dark. Do you pray 5 times a day? Just think. This is a question you ask yourself. I don't want the answer. Do you pray 5 times a day? Muslims pray 5 times a day. Now the question is, why 5 times a day? You know, I told you about the Quran, the supposedly the Word of God, which is really the counterfeit of the Bible. It's here. And I call it dumb counterfeit because it is really dumb. Let me explain to you something. If you ever going to cheat, counterfeit a dollar. If you ever, I'm not asking anybody to do that, but if you ever do that, here's $20. Make it the same size. If you make it this big, people figure out it's a joke. And if you make it extra 2 inches, people, it's a joke. The Quran is big and small. From any story, they make it too big or too small. You add to it or take away from it. Now, you see the picture inside the middle of the 20, who is this? Don't put grandpa's picture. On reading the Quran, one's convinced it is just a counterfeit, a dumb counterfeit. Not even one story taken out of the Bible has been put even close to what the scripture teaches. Hadith, second biggest lie. You understand the Quran by the Hadith. If you know the Hadith, you will never even read the Hadith. But they tell you, the only way you can understand the Quran is to read the Hadith. The collection of the sayings and the action of Muhammad. If Muhammad said something, it's a hadith. And people write it down. Hadith means, the word hadith in Arabic means talk. Right now I'm talking to you. I'm carrying a hadith with you. Or if Muhammad did something and somebody saw him, immediately they make it a sunnah, way of life. It is something to be practiced. So many hadiths is just a joke. And you talk to Muslim people, say, well, that's a hadith, that's a weak hadith. We don't trust in it. And this hadith, it is Jewish hadith, written by the Jew. And this hadith is this. Which hadith do you like? Which book do you want me to use? Bukhari. I use Bukhari, and no, that's not true. I mean, there's trash all over the hadith. How many of you heard the big problem we have in Egypt the last 2 months about the breastfeeding of the old? You guys, where do you live? It's online. Go read online. It's a hadith where Muhammad said that if his wife, Aisha, will meet with men, she cannot meet with them unless they are breastfed by somebody from her family, so he become a brother or a nephew or a grandson. It is literally, this come from originally from a lady by the name Sahla bint Suhaik. She went to Muhammad, she told him that her husband is jealous from their son, whom they maybe have adopted. So Muhammad told her, go and breastfeed your son. She said, oh, apostle of God. He is an old man with mustache, with a beard. He smiled and he said, I know, breastfeed him. So she went home, breastfeed him. Now he become a real son. Why? Because the Quran used to be, by the way, used to be in the Quran, not anymore, but Muslims still practice today. If a woman breastfeeds a child 5 times, it used to be 10 times first, and she breastfeeds her daughter, her son, the child and her daughter or her son cannot get married because they have become brothers and sisters. You're not following me. I lost you. Okay. Now, it used to be 10. And then Muhammad changed his mind in the Quran. He said, only 5 times. So if my wife breastfeeds my son, Caleb, and your daughter, you guys going out of town for some reason, and you drop your daughter in our home, and in the culture there, in the time then, didn't have buttermilk, and my wife, she breastfeeds your daughter. Well, guess what? Your daughter and my son cannot get married. If it was 10 times, and then it changed to 5 times. By the way, these 2 verses today is not in the Quran. But Muslim people believe in it, and the hadith said they were in the Quran. So the hadith helped me to understand the Quran has been corrupted. That's how good the hadith is. Now, there's another breastfeeding of the old. A woman can breastfeed a man and he become her son. So the law in Egypt now, they have a big problem in our congressmen. They're trying to get an interpret. If a lady and a man work together in a job, and the man is going to be with the lady by themselves in a room, it is illegal. It is unlawful in Islam. So the answer is, if she breastfeeds this man 5 times, then he becomes her son, then it's okay. I'm not joking. This is, go on, guys, go online and search for it, and you find what I'm telling you is truth. Okay? So that's the hadith. That's how holy is the hadith, and that's how good Islam is. Let me share with you a couple more hadiths. Muhammad said, this is very true hadith here. If a fly fall into a wa'a, a cup or a dish, and it just happened that this cup or this dish have food or water in it, you baptize the fly. Shake both wings in the fluid or the food. Then throw the fly away, and then you eat or drink. Nothing will harm you. I have to argue with some Muslim here in America in college students in their master and whatever degrees they're getting in our colleges that this is a joke and they said, no, that's a true hadith. And they prove that Muhammad is a prophet by this hadith. Why is this, Dr. Muhammad? He said, because one of the flying wings have the virus. And the other fly wings have the cure for the virus. And if you shake both wings under the fluid or the water, it will be neutral. It will not harm you. How did Muhammad know about the virus and the cure of the two wings of the fly 1400 years ago if he was not a true prophet? And they talk about it and they teach it as if it is true. Can you look at this fly hair on her legs and her back and everywhere? Whatever this fly is on, before it comes to your food, that's what it covers her hair. Do I have to describe this a little bit more? You figure it out. Nothing on the wings. Nothing on, if there is any part clean in the fly, it is the wings. Because they move them fast, and that's how the stuff falls off from the wings. The hadith is a lie. There's no truth in it. Muhammad is a big liar. Let me share another one with you. For those who would like to lose weight, here, brother. Okay. We were talking about they need to lose weight before the sermon. For those who would like to lose weight, Muhammad has the best diet. I mean, that costs you nothing, hardly. Listen to the diet. The best way to lose weight is, Muhammad said, this is your stomach, guys. And the best way to eat is 1/3 food, 1/3 of your stomach you fill with water, not Diet Coke or Diet Pepsi, just water. And the third part of your stomach you fill with air. If you eat like that, you lose all the weight you want to lose naturally. How did Muhammad know the diet, the best diet, which has been proven in America by Dr. Shakamatuku Bakata? Some name. They make up all the time names. To somebody proved it in America to be true. Somebody proved it in France to be true. And this somebody is a doctor who become Muslim because of this discovery. How Muhammad know about the best way to eat 1400 years ago if he's not a true prophet? Here it is. I prove it to you. How in the world are you going to put air inside your stomach? You You can't put air inside your stomach. I thought about this for a long time until I went to, Walmart or some store to buy a bicycle for Caleb. And then next to the bike, there was a, this is what's called air pump, okay? For $9.95, they give you 5 years warranty. Cut the hose top off because normally have a piece of metal, clean it good and suck it down to your stomach and pump one third air. That's the only way you can put air in your stomach. Does it work? No, it does not work. Why? Check the baby. When the baby are hungry, they cry. Because you want to be fed. And after you feed them, they still cry some more. Now, that's a question. Shush. Why baby cry? I mean, he was hungry. Now you feed him, he's still crying. Because he have air in his stomach. What did grandma says? Burp is a baby. If you don't know what this is, burp is a baby. You bend it down softly and... You get the air out. Now they're comfortable and you don't cry anymore. You can't hold a stomach in your air. Air in your stomach, period. Try it with drinking one Pepsi a day. And just hold your mouth. Somebody asks you, why are you holding your mouth? I'm trying to lose weight, man. I got some air in my stomach. Did Muhammad tell any truth in the hadith? Not even one. All the hadiths I have read so far, there are 750,000 hadiths. I have not read all of them, but all what I have read thousands of them. All what I have read so far is a lie. And it does not help you to understand the Quran. The more I read the hadith, the more I understand and I believe the Quran has been corrupted, has been changed. It's a joke. But Muslim people pray 5 times a day. Why? Does the Quran teach to pray 5 times a day? No. 3. He said early and late and the one in the middle. That's the largest number. Some place say 2, which he said the two edge of the day, which means morning and night. Another place he said 3. Early and late and the one in the middle. Why Muslim people pray 5 times a day? Because there's another hadith Muhammad said. And in this hadith Muhammad said, he has ascended to the 7th heaven. By the way, it's not just hadith, it's hadith and Quran. That's chapter 17, verse 1. You read about it when he has been ascended to the 7th. How many heavens do we have in the Bible? Anybody knows? Three heavens. Where did Muhammad come up with the other 4? By the way, he does not only teach this 7th heaven, he also believes there are 7 earths that I'm going to show in a minute. But here's the earth, and here's the first heaven, the heaven of atmosphere. That's where aeroplanes fly. That's where the satellite. Satellite, actually, it's just up here, outside the atmosphere. Right now, they have a big difficulty to get this one satellite in because there's a small, tiny hole in one of the blocks to cover. Therefore, if it bring it in, most likely it's going to burn like last one we have, burned. Okay? So that's the first heaven. Second heaven is the heaven of the stars. Space, the sun and the moon and the stars. The Bible talks about the heaven declares the glory of thy hand. The sun and the moon and the stars. That's what the Bible is talking about. Third heaven is the heaven of heaven. And that's where Jesus has been ascended to. After the resurrection, Jesus ascended to the third heaven. John in the Bible has been ascended to the third heaven physically. Paul has been ascended to the third heaven. And Paul was an honest man. He did not even know if it was by the flesh or just the spirit. But he knows 3 heaven. He's been there. And that's where Jesus is and all the angels and every wonderful saint. That's where we'll be someday when we meet our Lord. Amen? But Muhammad says 7 heaven, so he got extra 4. And he also says 7 earths. And Muslim scholars will tell you there are even 500 years travel between one earth and another. And they disagree about, some of them say there are 7 earths. And then 7 heaven above them. Or some say, no, it's earth, heaven, earth, heaven, earth, heaven. But anyway, the distance travel between one earth and another is 500 years. That's a camel, right? Literally, everything is measured by the walk or the normal transportation of Muhammad days. Which means 1 hour of your flight, the shuttle we send up there, equals the 500. So in 7 hours, they pass God. You know how fast is 1 hour with this shuttle? This, what do you call this? The spaceship? An hour equal more than 500 years camel ride. I don't care how fast this camel is. But I talked to a friend of mine, he worked for NASA. And I told him, you know what? You guys are wasting billions of dollars. All the money you're wasting to try to find life on Mars, if you spend 10% of it, you can find the other six Earths. He looked at me like I'm nuts. I said, I'm serious. He said, who said that? I said, Muhammad said. He said, he's a liar. Anyway, so Muhammad said, let me share this with you, hadith, because we have a lot to cover. I give you a break. That's your break for tonight. So nobody complain about sitting for 2 hours, okay? You guys laugh. So Muhammad was sleeping next to his wife, Khadija. And then Angel Gabriel came to him, wake him up. And he, by the way, when Angel Gabriel, he did not meet him from the door or from the window. He come from the roof. Open the roof, get in. He couldn't see the door, but that's okay. He get in and he wake him up and open his chest. And then he clean him from all sin and iniquity and fill him with wisdom and knowledge. Now Muhammad is pure, very wise man. And he said, okay, now first thing before we get to heaven, we're going to go visit in Jerusalem. In a flick of an eye, just like this fast. Woo! Muhammad went to Jerusalem. And there he pray and he pray with all the prophets. That's why Muslim people have the mosque in Jerusalem. That's where Muhammad prayed. Lie, he never been there. But that's okay. And then he provided him with a mule. A mule is a mix between a donkey and a horse. Okay? And he, Muhammad, will ride on the mule, but Angel Gabriel will fly with his wing. And they start their trip to the seven heavens. First heaven they get to, there, here it is, and he, Muhammad, knocks at the door. And he says, who is there? Some angel from inside. Or Gabriel was Muhammad anyway. And he said, this is Angel Gabriel. Anybody with you? Yes, I have Prophet Muhammad with me. Please, come on in. So they enter the first heaven. And inside the first heaven, they saw this wonderful, strange things. This long, long, tall man. Who every time he look at his right hand, he laugh. And every time he look at his left hand, he cry and he weep. The question is, Muhammad is asking Angel Gabriel, who is this guy? Who is this nuts guy? Why he's doing that? He says, shh. This is Father Adam. So why he laugh and cry? He said, every time he look at his right hand and he sees all those who believe in you, Muhammad, he's happy for them. And every time he look at his left hand, he sees all those who disbelieve in you, they're burning in hell. And he cry and weep for them. What does the Bible teach about heaven? Do they have tears and cry in heaven? If Muhammad ever saw Adam in heaven, he could not see him crying or weeping. That's just a small mistake. But then we have to ask the question, how tall Adam was? I mean, he was tall. He was really tall. So guys, this is the audience and participation now. How tall do you think Adam was, brother? Give a number. Shoot number. Six. That's too short. How about? 9 foot. No, that's too small. Somebody else. Come on, brother. 12. Nah, that's too short. Brother Greg. That's closer. 60 yards. Adam is 60 yards. And Muhammad said in another hadith that since Adam until his days, people are getting shorter. That's the opposite of evolution. It's supposed to get bigger and smarter. 60 yards. His foot is bigger than this, from here to here. His foot is as big as your building. Every time he walked, Muhammad said, there was a city. Big foot, big legs, few hundred miles, maybe his foot. I don't know what he was doing. That tells us that the rest of the story is fable. It's a joke. It's a lie. Then he went to the second heaven. Then he went to the third heaven. And in the third heaven, he met with Moses. And then he went to the fourth, and the fifth, and the second. And at the sixth heaven, Angel Gabriel said, you're on your own, man. You're going to be meeting with the big guy, the big God himself. I cannot go with you. Angel Gabriel could not go to God, but Muhammad was able to go to God. Okay, Muhammad went to the seventh heaven, and Muhammad talked to God, and God told him, I want you to tell the people to worship me and pray 50 times a day. He said, no problem, we Arab, we're strong, we can do it, no problem. He left heaven, the seventh heaven, stopped by the third heaven as he was coming down to earth, and he met with Moses. And Moses said, what did God say? He said, oh, we have a wonderful time, and he said, we pray 50 times a day. 50 times a day? Are you out of your mind? People will kill you, man. Go back to God. Tell them that's too much. He went back to God from the third heaven, 4, 5, 6, 7 heaven. And God said, okay, we make a deal here, 45. Went back to the third heaven. Moses said, too much. Went back to God, 40. Too much, 35. Too much, 30. Literally, every time he met with God, he cut them 5. And God, Moses told him, still too much. Last time he went to God and God said, okay, this is it, 5. I cannot go any less than 5. And Musa said, that's okay. And that was able, Muhammad be able to come back to earth. And when he came to earth, his bed, according to the hadith, was still warm. The whole story going up to the 7 heavens, coming down, it was a couple hour, 3 hour, you say with me? You know, yeah. 4 hours is going to be cold. The bed will be cold. Wow. We have another problem. Actually, we have 2 problems. The first problem is, the Quran contradicts itself. Because in one place in the Quran, it tells me that the angels come from heaven to earth in a day equal to 1,000 years of what we count. 1,000 years. The angels start flying now, 1,000 years later will be here in earth. But another verse in the Quran said, the angels take a flight from heaven to earth in a day equal 50,000 years. Is it 1,000 years or 50,000 years? I mean, come on, make up your mind. The difference is 49,000 years. That's a lot of years here. Well, they're both right, Muslim scholars said. Why is that? Because if the angels are coming from the first heaven to earth, which is close, it would take 1,000 years. But if the angels are flying from the 7th heaven, which is far, far away. You know, the story told the kids, and he flying from far away to earth, that's a longer trip. The longer the trip, the more time it take. That's 50,000 years. So both numbers are right. Well, how in the world Muhammad went from earth to earth, from Mecca to Jerusalem, and then to the first heaven, second, third, four, five, six, seven, third, seven, third, seven, third, seven, third, seven, third, 17 times back to earth in 2 hours? And he was not alone. Angel Gabriel was with him. The whole story is a lie. Muslims have no right to have the mosque in Jerusalem. Because Muhammad never been there. He described to them the temple of Solomon after the temple was broken and damaged for 600 years. How in the world he described it? He was just make up stories. Muslims pray 5 times a day, and we Christians don't. That's the sad part here. Learn one thing from Muslim: pray. You have the true faith. You have Christ who loves you and died on the cross for your sin. And you don't even thank Him for some time, for the meal you're eating, for the health you have, for the strength, for you're able to be alive. Third pillar in Islam is zakat. That's where Muslim people get 20% of the spoil. Excuse me, what? Spoil. What is spoil? Money dropped from heaven. No. Spoil is when you go and attack innocent people, next town, next village, and you kill their men, and you grab the women and children, and the land, and all these good animals, whatever come with them. That's what we call spoil. And Muhammad gave the 20%. How many people here in America heard that? I mean, I heard it so many times, that Muhammad was so poor, he didn't have any money to buy food. He gave everything away to the poor people who believe in him, and he there was days and days, he never cooked dinner in their kitchen. Because he was fasting all the time. Because he was so poor. 20% of spoil make him so poor. He's multi-billionaire, if there's a number to say. He was involved himself in 29 attack, 29 invasion. And he was wounded in the last one. And then the mother said, you stay home, man. We don't want to lose you. Just appointed one of us. You're going to get your 20% anyway. So he sent another 34 some later to attack another 34 villages. That's all in 10 years. Lots of money. The Quran said 20%. I didn't make it up. Muslim people don't make it up. 1/5 of the spoil goes to the apostle and to God and to the poor and the son of the way. God? How did God get any of this money? There was no Federal Express then. But Muslim people today give 2.5 of their net income. Since they don't have spoil today. Every mosque in America, every Muslim in America who gave money to the mosque, he is supporting killing your children overseas. Period. They say only 80 mosques in America, FBI tell us that, they only capture 80 mosques in America who were really supporting jihad. That's fool of FBI to say such a thing. Every mosque in America, till today, not 5 years ago, they think they started. No, till today. Muslim in America still sending money to Hezbollah in Lebanon and to all the jihadists in overseas. Fatah and Hamas and all these wonderful jihadists. Every mosque in America still today still send money. Let me give you a proof. A year ago we had the war in Lebanon. You remember between Israel and Lebanese? Remember, you know what I'm talking about? My sister from Lebanon, she knows what I'm talking about. And after the war is over, so the 1 month over, the 1 month and the war is over, Hezbollah, which is the politician leaders, where they won the election there, and they are the Babylon, they are the jihadists. They were giving money to the Lebanese to rebuild their homes. You know what kind of money they were giving? USA dollars. That's just a year ago. That after 4 years, FBI says they stopped sending money. And it was not a bad dollar. It was a good US dollar. It was not a counterfeit. And it was not printed in Lebanon. It was printed in America. There are Muslims in the world today. They were willing to put bomb on their chest to commit suicide, to kill you. Do you think they're going to worry about carrying money in a bag? What are you going to do to them if you catch them? Put them in a hotel and give them a prayer rug and serve them three meal a day? You can't even judge a criminal who you can't oversee in a war. We let them go free. We capture them again from the war zone. You haven't got it. And the rest of this, the Democrats in this country, they want to freeze them all. We already free some and we capture them again in the war, shooting our own soldiers. Let's freeze them. I said, instead of freeze the people in Gizmo, just give them everyone an aeroplane and fill it with dynamite. Because that's what you want to do. They're going to hit some part in America. You want to freeze them, send them back to their country? No, just give them an aeroplane, a big one, and fill it with dynamite or some big bomb. Let them kill us. That's a smart thing to do. If I had the right to do this, I would execute all of them because they're all criminal. Don't give them 20 years in prison and then kill them later. You kill them now. But that's not the message of Christ. That's not what Christianity is. You get your flesh up, you get excited, and you forget what we're for. But at the same time, when you hear the other side, let them go free, that make me sick. Muslim people tie. Do you tie? I mean, I want to learn something out of Muslim people here. They know how to give 2.5% to do anything, whatever it takes to get rid of the infidel. Christian in America, tib. You know what? Tib God. You know, tip. How do you spell it?
T-I-P.
T-I-P. Yeah. That's like you go to a restaurant and eat a meal, and you like the meal, and you give the lady $5 or $10 on the table, because she comes to the table 3-4 times with water and tea and all the good food. $10. People go to church and they give God $10. Literally, 80% of my own Baptist people, I'm not talking about your church here, you are very right people with God. My Baptist people, 80% tip God, and 20 tithe. Do you tithe? If you look at your income in the end of the year, is it exactly if the tithe 10% of the income? Or you're just tipping God? Sometimes you give 20, sometimes you give 50. Oh, this week I bought $100 in the dish. Well, you're only stealing God for 300 more. How do you worship? Just to go to church and show up? Or do you really have a relationship with God and you know that all the blessing you have, everything you have is His? And he said, test me with 10%. Why not we take him for his word? He said, test me. Can you imagine? You do this sincerity. 1 year, you're going to say, from next week, I'm going to tie every penny I make. And I'm going to test God. He said, I will bless you. I will bless you more than you can imagine. You're going to, from now for until next year, for a whole year, every time you make $1,000, it's $100 not yours. If you make $10,000, $1,000 not yours. And you give it to God. Test him for 1 year. And if he did not bless you, you know what? The rest of your life, you're free. You didn't have to give neither tip or any money, not even a dollar. Keep all your money for yourself. He said, you know that the Bible said you cannot test God in anything except in tithing. You test God 1 year in your time. And don't give it, don't write the check like you're writing your death certificate. Okay? You write it with a spiritual, with charity, I mean happy, joy. You're excited about giving God. You're excited about testing God. And do it for a whole year. And if you're not blessed, then guess what? You're 40 the next of the 6 years of your life. Don't have to give him a dollar. Not even a dime. Say, I test you and you fail the test. Worship God in your offering, in your giving. Otherwise, you are a hypocrite. Muslim people fast the month of Ramadan. And during this month, which is 28, 29 days every year, they fast all day long. And they eat all night long. In Egypt, after the Ramadan is over, you go and diet, try to lose some weight. They consume, this is a study number showing, Muslim in Egypt consume 3 more times than any time of food of any month in the year. So in a normal month in the year, they spend $1,000. In the month of Ramadan, they spend $3,000 on food. And they say, Ramadan Kareem. Ramadan is generous. They like to eat all night long. Let's think of it for a minute here about the Allah of Muhammad. I think the Allah of this Quran here have no clue what is planet Earth. Literally. I'm not kidding. I'm going to prove it to you in a second here. The God of the Quran, he does not have any idea what other parts of the world look like. All what he knows is Saudi Arabia. Half of the day is time, and half of the day is day, and the other half is night. So the study, the Quran says, you fast the month of Ramadan, as long as there's day outside. When it gets dark like right now, like this, that's time to eat. Let's go to Greenland or Alaska. And Ramadan, it just happened that it come in the middle of December, Christmas time or close to Christmas. How many hours the Muslim people were fast on the days of 16, 17, 18, 19, 20 of December? It's dark all day long. It's dark all night long. So you'll be eating the whole week. Well, let's see now, Ramadan come in the month of June. We have a problem now in the month of June. Why? Because it will never get dark. I mean, he's talking about the whole week of sunshine outside. And then when it gets dark, it's going to be dark for 15 minutes. Let's eat, man. As fast as you can. It does not work. That's why I said the Allah of Muhammad have no clue that some other part in the world. And if Islam is the religion for mankind, if Islam is the only true face of God, as it is written in the Quran, as Muslims teach, the true Muslim, then how in the world people around the world going to live the pillar of Siyam, pillar of fasting. You took one pillar out. We really take the prayer out because they cannot understand what they're saying in their prayer. And now we're going to take Siyam out. They're not going to fast. Remember, there was no watch in Muhammad days. So say, we're going to fast 12 hours, we're going to eat 12 hours. The Quran said, as long as it's dark outside, you fast. Light outside, you fast. When it gets dark, you start eating. I asked this question to the Muslim online, and they said, the scholar have already talked about this, and they found answer for it. And I said, what is the answer? They said, they're going to fast to the closest town. Whatever is dark in the next town. I said, my friend, if you live in Alaska, the next town is far away town. I don't know where you're going to get the next town. But do we Christian fast? I heard last week that your church here, you fast. Do you fast? Muslims know how to fast the whole month of Ramadan in the middle of the heat in Iraq and in Saudi Arabia and in Egypt. Do you fast in America? Do we have reasons to fast? Can you fast for your own walk with Christ? Can you fast for your own church, for your own family, for the country? Man, if we fast a half of the year, it's not even enough. We in America know how to fast when things get real bad. September 11 happened on Tuesday, and Wednesday some people fast. And Thursdays, they forgot about the fasting. They only fast one day because they found there's no more attack. We're okay. Or we fast in the church when somebody gets real sick and the doctor said, we're talking about 3 days or 4 days, maybe a week to live. Then now the church fasts. Why can't we fast just for any simple sickness? Before it gets real serious and somebody's going to die. I pray that God is speaking to you tonight, at least about prayer, about tithing, about fasting. Can we learn anything from the heathen? From the infidel? Fifth pillar is Hajj. Now when you fast the month of Ramadan, all your sin until the month of Ramadan is forgiven. Literally you have no sin. Wow, you're guaranteed to get to heaven now. No. Sin have nothing to do with hell and heaven. As a matter of fact, all Muslims, when they die, they go to hell. First. And then God choose from them whom He will and send them to heaven. Not heaven or heaven. It is the garden of paradise, like the garden of Eden, like where Adam and Eve used to live. Where all the pleasurely, fleshly desire is fulfilled. You visit Mecca one time in your life. All your sins, not just in the past, like in fasting, past and present and future are forgiven. All your sin is forgiven. Islam is a religion of work. Here's the five things you do. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Now it's up to God. He maybe get you in or maybe not. So you visit Mecca. You can visit Mecca for grandpa or grandma who already died. One at a time. You visit Mecca one at a time for every friend, every family member, somebody sick who could not make it. And every time you visit for one person, all their sin is forgiven. Past, present, and future. If they are dead, they still receive forgiveness for their sin. But still no guarantee to make it to heaven, to the garden. Remember one time in Egypt, I was talking to this man and I called him Hajj. I don't know if, Brother Greg, do you know what the word Hajj means? Hajj is a man who visits Mecca. That's the title for them. So I called him Hajj and he got upset with me. I said, I'm sorry, you have not visited. He said, oh, I never visit. Don't you dare call me Hajj. I said, why is that? What's wrong? He said, this is only for the wicked people who have so many sins. I'm a righteous man. I don't commit adultery, I don't kill, I don't do this, I don't do that, I don't steal, I pray my five times a day. I don't need this pillar. I don't need this Hajj. This is only for the wicked, sinful people who want to live and enjoy sin. Because they're going to be forgiven anyway. Yes, you got permission. Oh, what you want to do? Go for it. I never even thought of it this way. Now the question for us tonight, is your sin forgiven? Do you know that in the Christian faith, you have eternal life on result of you have the right to have all your sins to be forgiven if you believe in Jesus? Jesus did not die that you may worry about your sin next month or next year. He died that you have forgiveness of all your sin, past, present, and future. The Bible said, without shed of blood, there's no forgiveness of sin. You can go visit Mecca a million times in your life. You can go live inside this black building. And you will not have forgiveness of sin because you must have blood. Without shed of blood, no forgiveness of sin. And the only blood right now we are forgiven by is the blood of Jesus. Not even the blood of the sacrifices of the Old Testament. When David and Abraham and Adam and Moses and Noah and all these wonderful people sacrificed animals, it was a picture for the true sacrifice of our Lord Jesus Christ on the cross. If Jesus did not die on the cross, neither Adam or Abraham or Moses or Elisha or any of the prophets will make it to heaven. You understand what I'm saying here? The blood of Jesus is the one who brought forgiveness to the people who sacrificed the animals in the Old Testament. It is by faith they sacrificed, waiting for the true sacrifice of our Lord Jesus Christ. Muhammad came to deny the death of Christ, the blood of Jesus. The only hope for human rights, for human to live and have the right to get to heaven, but to receive forgiveness of sin, Muhammad denounced in the Quran. He denied two important things in the Christian faith, and everything else is good. The deity of Christ and the work of Christ on the cross. And if you take the deity of Christ out of the Bible, and you take the death of Jesus Christ on the cross, what do you have in the Bible? It's a good book for the trash can. And they tell you, we believe in the Bible. We believe in Jesus. Not my Jesus, not my Bible. If you believe in my Bible, you have to denounce your Quran. They both cannot be right. Sixth pillar. This is, I made it up. Brother Greg, your dad will not like this one because it's not a pillar in Islam, but I made it up. It's called da'wah. It is even, to me, more important than all the previous ones. Why? Because that's how Islam took over America. That's how Islam took over Europe. Through da'wah. If Muslim people went to Europe and pray all day, all night, nobody will believe in Islam. If we have right now in America 10 million Muslims and they pray all day, all night, and they visit Mecca and they fast Ramadan and they do all the stuff about Islam, none of you will become Muslim. But through this one, they will take over America. Muslimizing America. A word I made up. Muslim. Make Christian American Muslim. Make atheist American Muslim. Make everybody in this country Muslim. And they're doing a good job. They're winning people from all the many priests, pastors, deacons, all different churches are people believe in Islam. Not because they believe in this book. They believe in the baloney Islam they're sharing with them. None of what they teach you in America through the da'wah, through the sharing Islam, it has to do anything with the Quran. They're two complete different stories. The loving, peaceful Islam is not in the Quran. If you have not heard Sunday, get the CD. And we're coming up with some verses coming up here. There's not one verse in the Quran teach love. Not one verse. Love somebody. Love your wife is not in the Quran. Show it to me. If Muhammad can bring it to me, tell him, Usama will become Muslim.